Well, they were originally created for use in the Japanese car industry. These days you find QR codes on just about everything. That's from cereal packets to plane tickets to advertising hoardings to bus stops to shops, whatever. Now, when I talk about QR codes, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's those little black and white squares like a barcode that you scan with your phone to get more information. Now, when I say you find these little barcodes everywhere, I didn't mean exactly everywhere. Like, for instance, would you draw the line of putting a QR code on a gravestone? Is that a step too far? Well, it's not for David Quiring, who runs Living Headstones in Seattle in Washington State in America, where his business is putting QR codes onto gravestones, creating what he calls living memorials. And David's on the line now. David, welcome to the programme. Tell me, first of all, why you decided to put QR codes onto headstones.
Well, I'm a third generation of a family that has manufactured cemetery monuments for over 100 years. So, you know, my duty right now is to continue moving our craft forward. And with so much technology going on right now, we can only carve so much on a piece of stone. We can't really put a family's needs for the legacy of one of their children or their loved one. And so we have been looking for ways to add more value to monuments to basically mitigate the problems that we're having in this in our country because of our families are being separated. Half the families at one side of the country, half the families the other side, and then everybody's separated in between. And so with this QR code, people anywhere can, on a birthday or on Father's Day or Christmas or Easter, can leave a message on Grandpa's website, and that helps people work their way through their grief and keep connected with the rest of the family, even though they're worlds apart.
Okay, when did you start doing this, David?
Started in 2011.
And has it proved extremely popular?
For most people, it may be something that they haven't even heard of yet.
Yeah.
I mean, my concern is here in Washington, we just had a huge mudslide that killed 40-some people.
Yeah.
And basically covered their homes. And so all their photographs, all their family heritage, their history is gone. And so on my father's QR code on his website, we have added pictures of him. I've even added, my father, when he died, had a typewritten part of a Robert Frost poem in his wallet, and we used that as a epitaph for his monument from a walk through snowy woods. I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep, but I've actually taken a copy of that piece of poetry and added it to his website so we can see the work that my father actually did to create his own future.
Okay, so then really how it works is this. Like, someone scans the QR code on the grave. It links them to what is basically a website designed by and added to by the family.
Exactly. The family has, they can have one or two people that actually oversee the website so they can make sure that posts that are not appropriate can be removed. They can give other people in the family the authority to add and post information. So they can the family controls this whole website, and it is that the website is actually promulgated from several different servers all around the world, so that those websites are going to be, if some tragedy happens in one place, where that information, those photographs, all that information are going to be saved for the future.
Okay, like, for those who now know what the QR codes are, I mean, like, you can get them from everything, obviously, and you do get them from wedding invitations to billboard ads around the country, etc., and all that kind of thing. But, like, we're talking traditional granite memorials, most likely here. I mean, probably a stupid question, but the application of the QR, can you get it onto a traditional granite memorial as easily as I think you mightn't?
Oh, we can easily carve it. But our problem is again, the issue came up about this, our continuing technology, and how long is that QR code going to be viable? Let's say, is it a VHS tape that's only going to last, you know, 10 years or what? But so we opted to actually create our own code that our laser inscribes on a special piece of material that's copper-coated, and so it will last forever and stuck onto the stone with a special epoxy. So if it ever needs to, if someone needs to remove it, they could do that, but it's going to be on there for a long time, and if technology changes, we're going to have opportunity to change our link.
What you're offering now is an interactive living memorial that's a legacy for future generations.
Absolutely, and the whole key to this thing, even with the amount of cremation that's occurring in our world today, with so many cremations happening, and then unfortunately people rarely think through what they're going to do with the cremated remains. Usually it's a quick, yes, let's have them cremated, and then we'll go from there, and Aunt Susie winds up on somebody's closet shelf or in the back of somebody's car or whatever, and the net effect is that people, in some cases, don't really have a place to go. So what we've found in this grieving process is there's got to be a way for people to connect, and that's, I mean, why funerals, I think, started 10,000 years ago, to bring people together so they could work their way through this loss. And the net effect with this QR code, codes can go on cremation urns. They can go on the mausoleum shutter or columbarium shutter that holds cremated remains. So there's a lot of different ways. Now, here's another interesting thing. So you want to walk through the city, and you find this huge war memorial. We have one here in the capital of Washington, Olympia, that is a law enforcement memorial. There's over, you know, 180, 190 names, starting in 1865, when the first law enforcement officers were killed in the line of duty. So all these names are on this big memorial, and you kind of wonder. Or let's say you're walking through a veterans cemetery and you see all these tombstones, but you wonder, who were those folks?
Yeah.
So with this QR code, what we're doing now is trying to put more and more of the QR codes on things like this this law enforcement memorial. We're going to be able to click on the QR code, scroll on your smartphone down through, find the name that you want, and up comes a whole obituary or a whole background with a photo and everything.
Or photos and comments, an obituary, a genealogical information probably, and leading to a social networking site, all that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I know that's like, you know, a very iconic kind of name that you'd mention in terms of everybody who knows anything about America, Arlington Cemetery. They've decided against putting QR codes onto the graves there. Is there any reason why, or is it that they're just slightly behind the times and probably will pretty soon?
How did you know a lot about our politics in the U.S., don't you?
No, take time.
I think the idea is it's a quick decision. I'm going to go ahead and make this decision, so it's not going to muddy up the water. And the net effect is, I think that what people are doing right now is, in some cases, they are adding their own QR code.
Right, yeah, exactly. I mean, it is the future. There's no question about it. I mean, like, you mentioned smartphones earlier on. Since the proliferation of smartphones, which is only 3 or 4 years ago, that must have been what opened the huge, big sort of can of possibilities for you, or where you saw this is a really noble and good way to sort of move on in terms of the burial process.
Actually, the process that we were using before the QR code is one of using a chip embedded in the stone. But unfortunately, there's so many different issues that go on with that, along with the fact that sometimes moisture can get in and that little chip doesn't really last for any length of time. So the QR code was the solution, and we think that in many ways people want to leave something to. So here's my deal. On mine, I'm hopeful that we're going to be able to put a little video on there, and it's going to give my great grandchildren some thoughts about what I thought about that was important for them to know and understand.
I mean, basically, like at the click of a mouse, almost. It's just that kids can find out about their granddads, their great granddads, and their great great granddads very simply and very easily. Whereas the full kind of picture and voice and word and everything else, history, there just to be got at. So, like, it's I don't see what the problem might be, but I mean, there might be a problem with privacy with some people. So, is it possible to make the QR code private so it can only be viewed by certain people?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely can do that. We just eliminate guests on the on the site.
Simple as that.
Only
people
that have the correct email address can get in there.
By the way, just a matter of interest, you can attach the QR code to old headstones. It's not just new ones, is it?
Oh, you know, those are my favorite ones. I mean, we have people here and just down the street from the cemetery that my father's in, and we have people that were buried in the 1870s, 1860s, and these guys were people who were big movers in the world. I mean, they created this place that we have right now in terms of the way we live and how we live, and they had some interesting stories to tell. I love to see the idea of people, children, touring cemeteries with their smartphones and going around and clicking on the different the historical folks that they may or may not have heard of for their local area, and learning through that cemetery about the quality of life and what people had to do and how they did it and how they progressed and all that. And that kind of touching or being face to face with history is something that I think in our world and our fast moving world today we miss. And I think the opportunity to put some little memory stones, the little pieces of life, in front of people that could use some kind of an appreciation where we're going and how we get there.
Indeed, you're saying, like, who knows what might happen in 10 years' time. And the creator of that, the Japanese guy, he said that the QR code itself had only another 10 years to live before it's replaced by better image recognition software. So what will happen to then, to it, like, if the technology to read them becomes obsolete? Do you just move with the times?
You know, I can still get my VHF tapes translated and everything, and I'm pretty sure that with the right application, we'll be able to take that and read that QR code as if it was just another language.
Indeed, absolutely. Well, listen, just finally, David, just an obvious question. Are you offering this service just in the United States of America, or can people from overseas apply?
No. We have people in England and in Scotland that have bought those QR codes, and we just mail them out. They put them on their grandpa's stone, and all over in Colombia, in Samoa, in Australia, New Zealand, in Mexico. So we have those QR codes are on monuments all over the world right now.
And if people in Ireland want to get in touch, is it livingheadstones.com or something like that?
Yeah, they could do that. Or actually, the easy one is monuments.com. That's my...
Monuments.com.
Yeah, www.monuments.com.
All right. Well, if people want to get in touch, that's where to get in touch. David Quirring, well done. Congratulations. And thank you very much indeed for talking to us on the program this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for asking.